I have to admit, just going through this series, these last 2 weeks, looking last week, obviously, looking at the sins, canceling the sins of attitude, and this week, canceling the sins of the tongue. If I'm going to be real and honest with you, man, I kind of feel beat up by these last 2 weeks. Because I can see in my life where I struggle with sins of attitude. And I can see in my life where I struggle with sins of the tongue. And can I say something? When you study the Word of God and you look at what the Word of God says on these things, if you don't get convicted about it, there's something wrong. I tell you, I feel beat up, and I feel unworthy. I feel unworthy to even preach this, but this is what God has for me. He's chosen me for some odd reason to share this with you. But tonight we're looking at canceling the sins of the tongue. I remember hearing a story a while back. There was a pastor who had been a pastor for well over 20 years when all of a sudden his church was just shocked by scandal. You see, word had got around that the pastor had been having an affair with another woman. And so just the word got around to everyone, and really just the church was in absolute chaos. And then word finally got back to the pastor about it. The problem was that there was no truth to what was said. The pastor took the time to go to everyone. He talked to the person who told him, and then he found the person who told them, and the person who told them, the person who told them, until he finally got back to the person who started everything. And you see, what had happened is the pastor's sister was in town, and the pastor was driving his sister around and going out to lunch, and the woman saw the pastor and his sister in the car and assumed and destroyed the ministry. So he brought this lady into the church and took her outside and had a pillow, not one of the new pillows, but one with the feathers inside of it. And he took out a knife and he cut the pillow open and he told her, "Dump this out." And she said, "No, but the feathers will go everywhere." And he said, "Dump it out." And so she dumped the feathers out, and the wind quickly picked up and blew the feathers everywhere. And he looked at her and says, "Now pick them up." And she looked back and says, "But I can't. They're everywhere." And he's like, "So are your words." Listen, we think about sins of the tongue. The sins of the tongue they're dangerous. Again, we're looking at the context of this passage. We see this, and again, Pastor preached on it not this Sunday morning, but the Sunday morning before, just about how Ephesians 4 is about the unity of the church. And really, when we're looking at the passage we're in right now, he's saying we need to stop this. We need to stop and cancel, get rid of the sins of the tongue. Why? Because they destroy the unity of the church. Controlling our tongue is so very, very important. I mean, so much so that in James chapter 3, it says, "For in many things," verse number 2, "for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and is able to bridle his whole body." Well, that's interesting. Hi. I'm sorry that you had to see me 3 times. But you think about that. You just control your tongue. If someone's able to control their tongue, the Bible says the same as a perfect man. This coming from James, the half-brother of Jesus, who obviously knew Jesus pretty well, right? Someone who always held his tongue, always controlled his tongue. And you know what? Was a perfect man. But when you think about the sins of the tongue, listen, there's a terror. There's a terror when it comes to the tongue. And one of the reasons for that is the capacity of the tongue. Again, remaining in James chapter 3, looking at verse number 3, we see the illustration that James gives. It says, "Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, that we may turn about their whole body." Just that little piece of metal. Say, listen, we control a horse with a little piece of metal. Why can't we just control our tongue? Instead, we let our tongue control us. This is where we go into the next illustration. And James goes into verse number 4. It says, "Behold also ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, and yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." You think about these great ships that are built these days, and then just that small little piece of metal just on the back, that they just have to turn that and it steers the entire ship. I was reading earlier about the Bismarck, the German battleship that was the terror of the oceans. And I remember reading about how it sank. I don't remember all the names of all the ships, but I do remember that the reason that the Bismarck, really just something that was feared, that in reality really could have destroyed any ship it came across at that point. It was destroyed. Why? Because the rudder was hit. And once the rudder was hit, they couldn't control the ship, and the ship just kept driving around in circles and circles and circles, to which at that point the enemy, well, praise the Lord, the enemy was able to destroy that ship. Well, listen, when our tongue is out of control, when our tongue is not working correctly, not doing what it should, there's terror because we're not in control. And we need to be in control of our tongue. You know, James not only talks about it and compares it to the bit with the horse or the helm with the boat, but he also talks about it as a blaze. James chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire or a spark kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And so is the tongue among our members, and that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell." You know, large fires don't start big. They just take a spark. There is a forest fire in California in 2018 that burned 229,651 acres before they finally put it out. And you think about, well, how did that fire start? It started just by chance, where a rim of a tire struck the asphalt in such a way that caused a spark. And that spark fell in a dry area and started the fire. Huge fire, little spark. And our tongue, what we say with our tongue might not seem like a big deal when we say it, but the hurt just grows and grows, and it destroys the unity that we have. We think about the carnage of the tongue. The carnage of the tongue and the different sins of the tongue that are possible. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger," says, "and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." You think about that word clamor. What is that? The word clamor is really the sin of speaking while angry. I think we know that, right? We know that those instances where you're angry and then you start spewing words, yelling words when you're angry, just completely out of control. Listen, there's a reason we did Sins of Attitude last week. Because you can't get rid of, you can't cancel the sins of attitude from your life. There's no chance that you're going to cancel the sins of the tongue from your life. We need to have control of our attitude, before we can have control of our tongue. Matthew 12, 34 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We not only see clamor, but we see evil speaking. Evil speaking here is it's from the word blasphema. It means slanderous or injurious talk. And there are multiple different sins that fit under this category, sins of the tongue. One of those is gossip. Speaking evil of someone behind their back. Can I say this? It doesn't matter if it's true. If you're speaking evil about someone behind their back, it's gossip. I've spoken to some people in the past, and this has been a long time, just about, hey, you shouldn't be talking about that. You should be, you're not, you know, they're not here. You shouldn't be saying that. And how many guys have ever said that to someone, and they look back at you, well, I would say it if they were here too. Let's go to the next one. Evil speaking. The specific. Listen, it's sin not just to say something evil to someone when they're not there, about someone when they're not there. It's sin if you go up to someone and say something evil when they are here. In other words, without the idea of restoration, without the idea of helping. Again, just Ryan's right here, so he's just always the example. If I go up and tell him, I can't believe you did this. You're a sinner. You're terrible, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not. It's not for the sake of being a brother, not for the sake of edification. Listen, that's sin. Just going, there's nothing edifying, there's nothing helping about just going and belittling someone to their face. It is sin. Listen, whether true or false. We for some reason have this in our head that gossip is only a sin, that evil speaking is only a sin when it's false. But if it's true, and I'm just telling the truth. No, our speech needs to be for edification, for the lifting up of one another. The first week when we looked at that and just looked at canceling the old man, we kind of just said, stop it. Sins of attitude was let go of the sins of attitude. This week, zip it. Listen, it doesn't need to be said. It doesn't need to be said. The Bible clearly says that he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Now, this isn't someone like, oh, they sin, so I'm going to cover my transgression. No, this is someone, he sees a brother in sin. He goes to that brother, helps him, but he doesn't spread it any further. He protects his friend. He helps him get on the right path, but he makes sure that, listen, just because someone sinned doesn't mean that everyone needs to know about it. Can we praise the Lord for that? Listen, if Ryan knows something that I've done that I shouldn't, he should come to me and we can deal with it together. And that's all the further it needs to go. Now, there are ways if the person's not repentant to deal with that, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, 13, that a talebearer revealeth secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Listen, the sins of the tongue hurt. They destroy. Ephesians 4:29, Paul writes, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That word corrupt there literally means bad, rotten, or putrid. Before the service, my wife had to throw some stuff into the dumpster, and right now the dumpster is, with having the wedding shower and vacation Bible school and everything that's been going on, the dumpster is quite full right now. And she went out to try to throw some stuff in, and she said she opened up the door to throw some stuff in, and the smell just hit her. And she said, it made me want to throw up. That's what the Bible's talking about corrupt communication. I'll never forget, just another story. This is funny. How many have been to college? Okay. One of the things when you go to college, you always have freshmen. And freshmen don't necessarily always, they don't really always know about hygiene. And I remember one freshman that his shoes stunk like nothing else. And there was at one point where the entire dorm just reeked. And so we were trying to figure out what it was. And we realized that, you know, we could smell it on the bottom floor, but it was, you know, as we got upstairs, we smelled it more and more. And then as we got down the hallway, smelled it, and then it started going away. So I realized I had passed the door that it was in. So we went in that door, and I got the opportunity to find the smell. I picked up a shoe, and I smelled it. I have never been so close to losing my lunch due to a smell than at that point. It was putrid. It was disgusting. And listen, the sins of the tongue, that's what they are to God. And that's what they should be to us. Listen, sins of the tongue cause divisions even between the best of friends. Even between the closest comrades. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:28, and I apologize for the, forgot to change the color of the text. So I apologize for that. You should be able to drag in a different background for that if you can. But it says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. In other words, a gossip, an evil speaker, a corrupt communicator. Listen, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Listen, there is a terror to the tongue, but we have a template. In other words, this is biblical cancel culture, so we have a standard by which we are going, and that is Jesus Christ and his word. Anything that doesn't fit that needs to be canceled, needs to go. It needs to be, as Paul puts it here, needs to be put away, gone, destroyed. So let's look at the template. Let's first look at God's word. Listen, our template for speech is the word of God as it is perfect in everything that it says. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, if we could just follow that, swift to hear and slow to speak, so many of the sins of the tongue that we struggle with would be put away, would be gone at that point. Because how many times do we say something after we've just listened a little bit that if we listened the entire way, if we knew the entire story, we wouldn't say what we just said? We didn't have the full story. We hear something from someone and we hear tidbits and we hear little different nuggets of information and we just get so angry because why would they just do that? And you get so angry, you go to them and you yell at them and you belittle them. But then once you're done, they finally talk and you realize they had complete justification for what they did because it actually made sense. Or are you too busy yelling at them to find out? Because you are swift to hear, or swift, because you are swift to speak and slow to hear, instead of being slow to speak and swift to hear. It's so true what Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know, the Bible says that a fool is even counted wise when he just closes his mouth. In other words, zip it. Zip it. Got this poem. It says, the wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like that bird? Nice little poem, isn't it? Proverbs 17:27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is an excellent spirit. You know, you can't really understand a situation when you're just the one always talking, unless you listen. You think about what detectives do when they go to a crime scene. What do? They go and they listen to what the people around there say, and they listen as much as they need to get a picture, to get a full picture of what happened. And Christian, we need to slow down And listen, we need to listen more and not speak as much. That's hurting right there. I speak too much. I really do. Don't laugh. But there's a test. When we think about how can we overcome the sins of the tongue, there is a test that we can use that will help us not to fall into and not to allow sins of the tongue into our life. How many of you like tests? No one. Everyone's one person, the principal's son. You would think that. I do not like tests. I don't like taking them. I don't like giving them. But there is a test for this. The first question on this test, on whether or not you should say something. Okay? The first question on this test is it true? Before you say anything, ask yourself this question. Is it true? Now, let's expound on this question a little bit. Do I know for certain, absolutely certain that this is true? Not do I think that this is true, but do I know that this is true? Because how many times are we talking to someone, did you hear what Larry Petrie did? And they tell you, and you look back at this, is that true? And they say, yes. I can ask you this question. Do you actually know whether or not that's true? No. You don't. You've just heard it from someone else. First off, can I just say, stop listening to people who do that. I remember hearing a story about Mrs. Sharp, Anita Sharp. And someone was telling me the story about how they went up to Anita Sharp one time and tried to tell them the gossip. And such a testimony that they said that Anita just stared at them just with the most surprised face that they would even think that it was okay to say anything like that about anyone or to talk and gossip to her. Can I say that we should be like that too? Where when someone comes to us and wants to tell us something about someone else, that we just are absolutely amazed that someone would even think that that's okay. Now, it's not that we judge them. It says, here's the thing. Listen, what we should do is, if someone comes up and you say, I can't be a part of this. Listen, God hates gossip. God hates sin, and I can't be a part of this. Now, we can hang out, and we can talk, and we have a good time. We can fellowship in Christ, but I can't be a part of this. But before you say anything, just ask yourself this question. Is it true? And again, do you know 100% that it's true? Okay? So there's the first question. The second question, is it needful? Is it needful? Listen, the answer to the first question might be yes. I know it's true, 100%. The next question, is it needful? Do I actually need to say it? A lot of times the answer to that's no. I don't need to say it. There are obviously sometimes if you're going to someone, you know something's true, you're going to someone to try to say, hey, I know this is true, this is something I'm sure of, and this is something that you should not be a part of. In other words, you're going for restoration to the person you know there's something wrong with. Or let's say that you know something, you need to seek counsel. You need to seek counsel on how to deal with this situation. At that point, you can go to someone who's trusted, okay? You just don't go to any random person, but go to someone who's trusted, who you know, is not a gossip and won't talk about it to other people. And someone who can actually help with the counseling. There's room for that. But is it needful to say? If it's not needful to say, listen, even if it's true, don't say it. Don't say it. And again, this is where we get into the order and how to deal with when someone trespasses against you, when you see sin in someone's life. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. And that's where it stays. But if that he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Again, there is a time when something that's true, it's needful to talk to someone else and bring others in to help, again, restore. The idea behind every single step is restoration, okay? And lastly, so we have, is it true? Is it needful? But is it kind? Is it kind? And I just have to tell you that these three questions are not original to me. I heard them many times growing up, and I found it again as I was studying this from someone else. This is not original with me, but this is a good test. Is it kind? Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Is what you're about to say kind? Is it edifying? Listen, if it's not, don't say it. Zip it. Zip it. Now, let me tell you what that does not mean. That does not mean if what you're about to say is simply confrontational. In other words, you're confronting someone. Listen, sometimes we need to confront each other. Sometimes we need to confront each other. You know, we see this in the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, don't we? He's a pretty good example. He's a pretty good example. The end of the Sermon on the Mount, the people say that he spoke with such authority. Why? Because what he said was true. What he said was needful, and what he said, listen, though it might have been confrontational, it was kind. You think about the things that Christ called people sometimes. Vipers, whited sepulchers with dead men's bones inside. Blind, the blind leading the blind. Hypocrites. Man, you just take that at face value. That doesn't seem very kind, does it? It's very confrontational. But listen, if I see someone in a boat that's sinking, and they don't realize it, and I tell them, you need to get out of that boat, even though they don't want to, it's kind. When you see someone in sin, you might have to tell them some things that they don't want to hear. Now, again, here's the thing. Can we remember this? That we need to speak the truth in love. We need to speak the truth in love. We need to come with a humble spirit. We all know what we want, always want to do when we see someone wrong. We just want to go and say, hey, stop this. No, we should come like, hey, can I help you with something? Because really, anytime you do confront people and you have to confront someone to help them, the first person you should confront is yourself. You should always look inward before you look outward. Because listen, the Bible makes it clear. You can't pull a sliver out of someone else's eye when you got a beam in your own because you can't see straight. I remember speaking to someone on the phone just a couple months ago. They had an issue with another person, and they wanted to know how can I make this right? And I told them, first, you need to make sure that you're right. because if you're not right, you can't help them. And church, if you look at yourself and you see that, you know what? I'm not really canceling the old man. I'm not really putting away the old man like I should. Or I'm not really canceling sins of attitude. I'm struggling with that, and I'm not letting go like I should. Because I'm not saying that there's not going to be times when you get angry. I'm saying when you get angry, let go. Give it to God. I'm ashamed to say it. There's a time I got angry this past week. And I had to go back and apologize, and I had to let go. Listen, if you don't have control of your tongue, don't expect to be able to go and help other people. Church, we need to cancel sin in our life according to God's word. Because God's word is our standard. It is the standard. And what it says is right. And if you believe something else that is contrary, well, that's what we're going to get into next week. Next week, we're going to look at canceling false teaching. Because let's be honest, if we can believe what the Bible says, but if what we believe about the Bible isn't true, it ain't helping us. We need to make sure that when it comes to our speech, that it is edifying, that it lifts up, and that it helps. Is it true? Is it needful? Is it kind?